This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Tina Carmilla and Juliet Jacobs. Before we get to our second story, a quick check on social media.
Yes, so we're asking you on Twitter, should we end the practice of sending flowers, you know, for any sort of special occasion? So about 49% of you chose our option, which says, I'd rather send a plant. 29% of you said yes, and 22% of you said no. And we've also got some responses. Azim says he'd rather send bonsai. Roses will wilt, but the bonsai will last forever. After all, that's how love should be. And Breakfast Excluded says that also Valentine's Day is a major inconvenience if you are born on this day. Everything costs like 3 to 4 times more and it makes you less special. I don't think that's necessarily true, and I'm sorry if that's the case for you. So you can always join in the conversation today. Do send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call us at 03-77-33-2900. And, you know, if you have other options that you'd like to add to our question, please go ahead and send those.
So we're asking you about flowers because, well, it was Valentine's Day just yesterday. And I'm sure many of you received many beautiful bouquets of flowers from your loved ones. But the act of sending cut flowers along with the florist industry itself, or, you know, known as the floriculture industry, can actually have serious environmental effects. So perhaps it's worth thinking about the sustainability of giving flowers as gifts.
I'm sorry that we sound like party poopers, but I didn't receive any flower.
That might maybe be why we're all blue about this.
But a little bit of background when it comes to the global floriculture industry. The global business of cut flowers is worth about $33 billion, or about 135 billion ringgit. The Netherlands, United States and Japan account for nearly half of the world's flower trade. And Colombia, Kenya, Ecuador and Ethiopia, the world's greatest producers of flowers. However, China is emerging as a large producer. Their estimated production value of flowers increased by 150% from 2009 to 2013. And China plans to become the largest flower exporter in Asia.
Yeah, so on the local front, according to the Malaysian Agricultural Research and Development Institute, or MARDI, Malaysia is actually ranked among the top 10 flower exporting countries in the world, with our top importers being Australia, Japan and Hong Kong. And from 2011 to 2015, our floriculture production value actually increased by 23.3% from 417 million ringgit to 514 million ringgit. Currently, the major production areas for flowers in Malaysia are places like Cameron Highlands, Guamusang and Ranau, obviously, you know, the highlands, as well as parts of Johor, Perak and Selangor. And then areas for cultivation of flowers in Malaysia are actually expected to grow from 2,400 hectares in 2010 to 3,000 hectares. Oh my God, my numbers are all over the place. To 3,500 hectares by 2020.
Yeah, so there are actually, you know, several aspects to think about when it comes to the environmental impact of the cut flower industry. On the most basic level, there is, of course, you know, all the packaging that goes into creating that bouquet, you know, which can include both paper and plastic. Mm. But there's also the larger environmental impacts of the global floriculture industry itself. You know, water, for instance, much needed resource for the flower industry. And, you know, cut flowers, for example, account for 45% of Kenya's water exports.
Yeah. Wow. Who would have thought,
Who would have thought? And then there are also concerns in terms of land use. In Ethiopia, for example, the total area of land covered with flowers has increased from less than 100 acres in the late 1990s to more than 1,200 hectares in 2008. And, you know, there's also the issue of chemical pollution. The cut flower industry uses extensive agrochemicals, which can have a negative effect on air, soil and water supply.
And then there's also the transport of the flowers. In many parts of the world, flowers are exported by air, which adds to the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Last year, the International Council on Clean Transportation estimated that in the US, the 3 weeks leading up to Valentine's Day burn approximately 114 million liters of fuel. This emits approximately 360,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And even when they are transported by land, for instance, from Cameron Highlands items to other parts of Malaysia. The flowers need to be transported in refrigerated trucks and often need to be stored in refrigerated spaces as well. So all these use up a lot of energy. And not to mention the fact that even though we grow flowers locally, we still import flowers like tulips, peonies. Is that how you pronounce that?
Peonies.
Peonies. So I'm not a flower person. And daffodils, because these flowers cannot grow in Malaysia, even in the highlands, I suppose.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the risk of sounding like total
party poopers,
what does this mean to us as consumers? Can we still have our pretty flowers, but still make less of an impact on the environment? We have on the line Brenda James Leong, founder of Nook Flowers. Brenda has been trying to introduce more sustainable ways of floristry to her business. Brenda, so to start off with, where do you source your flowers from?
It's really about responsible sourcing. I'm a staunch advocate of using locally grown flowers. And in Malaysia, there are countless options. One is really spoilt for choices, from orchids to calas, roses, daisies, sunflowers, fun and flirty chrysanthemums. These blooms come in a kaleidoscope of colours, and I've only highlighted a handful of choices. But at the same time, we also use imported flowers, and these we source from Malaysia-based wholesalers who bring in the stock once or twice a week. I mean, yes, organically grown flowers would be wonderful, but if they're not readily available, then the option of having them shipped in or flown in is not really an option. It becomes counterproductive. I think the objective here is to reduce carbon footprint, not create more. Mm.
Why is it important to you as a retail florist designer to promote sustainability?
To me, small businesses and brands are extensions of their owners. So this commitment is personal to me. I believe retailers should pay attention to sustainability. And other than the ethical reasons, plus the fact that we are all responsible to do our part, sustainable practices offer a wealth of benefit for both retailers and customers. Customers are paying attention. They expect more from the brands that they use to support social and environmental issues. So purchasing decisions are made on these values. Many customers are happy to invest in sustainable retailers, and sustainability gives an opportunity to better connect with customers and make an impact through our day-to-day work, as opposed to just single standalone activities conducted once a year.
Yeah, but you know, as a retail florist designer, what steps have you taken to incorporate, sustainability into your business, and also to reduce your business's environmental impact?
We care deeply about the environment, and we're committed to conducting our business in harmony with nature. So, to us, the emphasis is flora. The packaging is secondary and should never detract from the flowers. This is why most of our bouquets are wrapped in the most minimal of ways, or why we choose foam-free arrangements wherever possible. We encourage customers to bring in their upcycled containers, and we opt to go with natural packaging wherever we can. It's really not the easiest of routes, and it's challenging because we have to factor in things like humidity, the heat, aqua packing the flowers. But we try hard to walk the talk on this. And it's not just our flowers that are green. Our generated waste from cuttings and foliage are given away to customers who compost. We ask them to bring in buckets and take it from us. And then we recycle glass, organic matter, plastic paper, cardboard. We continuously get into these big arguments with suppliers to reduce their packaging. And to not send us, things like paper catalogs or even invoices, preferring a digital route instead. We work with artisans based in Perak and Puchong who create beautiful ceramic ware that we create planters in. And the next option is to start working with recycled glass artists as well. So we're still on the lookout for this. We don't offer bags in the shop. And ever since last year, we've actually stopped using floral foods in all our water buckets to reduce what goes into the irrigation system.
So what can we do as consumers to contribute to sustainability in the floral industry?
Go against the trend. Bouquets don't need to be wrapped with layers and layers of cellophane and plastic. Ask for things to be dressed down, pared down. It's really the flowers that should be the hero, not the packaging that it comes in. And speaking of trends, buy flowers based on what the recipients prefer. And just because it's Valentine's Day, that doesn't mean you have to give red roses. Send sunflowers, send orchids, or a tabletop succulent planter. Send something that resonates with the recipient, as opposed to cliched choices that more often than not have to be imported in to fuel the demand. Also, have open conversations with your retailers. I love it when people ask me questions. Where do your flowers come from? How do I care for them? How do I make them last longer? What is the process? So ask these kind of questions and learn more about where your products come from. Learn more about the business philosophy of the retailers that you choose to buy from. I think all of this would be a great starting point.
That was Brenda James Leong, founder of Nook Flowers, with some great suggestions on how we can be more sustainable when it comes to buying and giving cut flowers. You know, I'm kind of happy to hear her say some of these things because I must confess, I do like getting flowers. Mm-hmm. I know, Juliet, you may. You would prefer to plant a tree instead.
I would. But that doesn't mean that I think everyone should not receive flowers. Yeah. But yeah.
But you know, it is something that I've been giving a lot of thought to over the last couple of years, where this idea of Does my sort of pleasure of having the flowers for, say, 5 days or a week, is that important enough for me to partake in this entire cycle, right? Which actually, the more I hear about it, makes me feel more and more guilty.
I don't know. For me, like you mentioned, I'd rather plant a tree, or, you know, there's so many organizations, especially environmental organizations, that, you know, they ask you, instead of sending flowers or instead of sending buying something, you know, plant a tree, sponsor a goat for a family, you know, there are all these sorts of initiatives. So, I mean, for me, that's the ideal kind of gift. But I also know people love getting flowers. You know, I've seen, you know, some of our colleagues who receive flowers, how happy they are when it happens. And, you know, nobody wants to take away that kind of joy either.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned places like Kenya and Ethiopia just now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of study on how the floriculture industry has actually revitalized a lot of livelihoods in these countries, right? Mm. Because it's brought in new modes of farming, new trade routes. It's bringing in money for people who were previously, you know, some of them were starving and didn't have livelihoods. So it is, you know, it's an industry like any others. But I do think that listening to people like Brenda, it makes me feel like there are options that you can take rather than opting for the roses and the carnations every year, right?
Or the, like, you know, the unusual flowers that, you know, need to be sourced from overseas.
Yes.
You don't need them.
Like peonies?
Peonies.
I cannot even imagine what that looks like.
It's that big, puffy, cotton ball looking thing, I think.
Yeah, you're lost on both of us.
Yeah, I'll probably have to Google it after this. But you know, I'm although I'm not a flower person, I just have to say that I was a flower girl once in church. But
you weren't a flower person, but you're a flower girl.
I was. I licked my lipstick before the procession, so I think I never was called in again to be a flower girl. But I did grow up in that convent environment, and the nuns always, every day, every morning, they replace the flowers in the church with fresh-cut flowers from the convent compound. So I feel like that is a nice way of using cut flowers. It's from you grow them and you use them and you know, for as long as it could last, and then you just replace them. The flowers usually are used as fertilizer or something. They use everything for fertilizer.
And then composting after that,
yes,
right? Once
yes,
the flowers have wilted. Yeah, I mean, my late mother was a prolific gardener, and our garden was just full of, you know, just beautiful local flowers, orchids, you know, all sorts of things. And I mean, she would cut some of them and, you know, put it in the house to decorate, or she would donate some to church as well. And I think that's where I got that love of a plant in a pot, because even one of my most treasured presents is a potted plant that she gave me, which, you know, still blooms till this day, and that is one of my most treasured gifts. You know, it's still with me, you know, 6 years after she's passed away, and that is just a wonderful gift, I think.
I remember also that the first time I had my eyes open to this idea of buying local flowers or appreciating local flora was when I went to study in Australia, and I realized how so many of their table arrangements, even their bouquets, they actually really made an effort to do wildflower bouquets, for instance, or whatever was in season. And also because I think, you know, a lot of the Australians are quite practical and they don't believe in spending, you know, tens and tens of dollars on flowers just to put on your dinner table. And so it's also a lot more affordable to get local flowers that are in bloom in that season.
Yeah.
And what that did was also kind of let me learn about their local flowers. And I think that that's an opportunity that in Malaysia we don't get enough of, to kind of appreciate the plants that we have growing here that's local and the flowers, and perhaps even getting creative with the way we use them in our decorations and, you know, whether it's for weddings or whether it's for our own personal bouquets.
Yeah, on that note, actually, about weddings, I mean, my own wedding, I was horrified at the amount of flowers that was forced upon me. It was not my choice. And but, you know, you do
couldn't carry a potted plant, unfortunately.
couldn't decorate the church with, you know, potted plants, unfortunately. But, you know, and I found that very, very troubling to me because, you know, as soon as my wedding was over, pop, everything was taken out and thrown away.
Yeah.
But I do know some organizations who actually, it happens overseas. They actually collect all these flowers and send it to hospitals. They send it to senior citizens' homes or, you know, places where, you know, they don't really get visitors, perhaps, you know.
And, so those flower arrangements and all that.
Those beautiful arrangements
sent
to people who would not necessarily be receiving flowers. So that kind of, you know, that made me think that that is something that would be great here, you know, especially we have weddings every day, every weekend, you know, and there's so many people who, like we said, you know, it brings a smile to your face.
Yeah,
I think that's a lovely, lovely idea.
Well, I wonder if there's an organization that does that here. I'd love to hear from them.
Let us know.
Get in touch with us.
Yeah.
I mean, but it seems to be a positive thing, right, Juliet, that I think our poll also shows that not everybody's really in favor of sending flowers.
Yes, about 47% of you have said that you would rather send a plant, and 31% of you agree that we should end the practice of sending flowers on special occasions, but there is still 22% of you saying, no, we should not end that practice. And that's fine. You know, I think all we need to do is just find more sustainable ways of doing it, perhaps.
Yeah, I agree. I'm finding them out as we speak.
Indeed.
You can continue letting us know about your thoughts on any of our conversations today. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call us at 03-7733-2900. That is all we have for you today. And if you missed any part of the show, you can download our podcasts on our website, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Do stay tuned. After the 3 o'clock news, Juliet Jacobs will be speaking to Sivanandi Thanindran from the Asia Pacific Resource and Research Center for Women and Rosanna Issa of Sisters in Islam about female genital mutilation or cutting. We leave you with Where Have All the Flowers Gone by Joan Baez. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.